Athens. You're listening to Kurt and Anthony on the Morning Drive on FM 96.3 and AM 620. WVMT.
Welcome back to the Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony here on this Monday morning, and joining us in studio now, it's the Vermont Republican Party Chair, Paul Dame. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Kurt. Good morning, Anthony. Good to be back.
Yeah. Good to have you back. And so as we, let's talk about the first thing on the list here, which is the party's convention.
That's right.
How long has the convention process been around? And give us some of the details. When's it coming up? How's it work?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple different pieces of this. I know that, I mean, the Republican Party nationally has been having conventions really since our first convention, 1860, I believe. And that's how we choose our presidential candidate. So that national process is going to be happening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 15th through the 19th. And so so every state and some of the territories are going to be sending delegates to that national convention. And Vermont is going to be sending 14 members in addition to myself and two other automatic members. We will choose who those people are at our convention on May 18th. So Saturday, May 18th at the Doubletree. There should be hopefully information on the website coming up in the next week or so. And that process starts right now, this month. The way you become a voting member to that convention is by checking in with your local town Republican Party. A lot of people, I know, I didn't know that different towns had local Republican parties, but those towns around the state are in the process right now of posting information about when they're holding their meeting. And any Republican voter can show up to that and ask to be a delegate to the state convention. So that process is happening now. If you go on the website, vtgop.org, you'll find the first block on the website is presidential convention. I think we've already got 20 towns or so who have announced the date and time, and more towns will be posting that information in the next week or two.
So what as chair and someone who will be of the party in Vermont and someone who will be automatically attending the convention as a result of your status as chair, we know it's pretty much a coronation, right? Donald Trump has won the nomination. He secured the delegates. Everybody's dropped out that was running. What's the big thing other than the coronation that will be happening at the convention?
So at the national convention, the national party will also put together its national platform and rules that will govern the party for the next 4 years. And there are rules that can only be changed once every 4 years as that presidential convention happens. And so Vermont will send two people to each of those committees, as well as a couple other things that work on setting the stage for what the national party is going to look like, how it's going to function over the next 4 years until the next presidential convention. In addition to that, there's going to be delegates to the national convention are also going to participate in the entire convention week that happens. It's a great opportunity. If you've never been, I've been to two conventions before. I really got involved in the party first through the presidential convention process. That's how I came on the radar of Don Turner. I was running to be a national delegate, and he said, "Hey, we don't have anybody in your district. Have you thought about running for House?" And I didn't know anything at the time. I was not really thinking I was going to run for office. And so it's an opportunity for us from the party to find out who's involved, who's active, who wants to get out there and talk to people, represent Vermonters, and we might find a couple of candidates out of this process as well.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Guys, I'm shaking my head because it seems to me the first thing on the list should have been that today jury selection starts for a former president accused of paying off a porn star to manipulate the 2016 election. This is not normal, folks.
Paul? He's obviously talking about the president's trial is beginning.
That I wasn't aware that was starting today. There's a lot going on in that department.
So this is what you're up against every day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a substantive conversation about anything else because Donald Trump is at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
And the minute you try to talk about having substantive organization for a party, a political party that believes in something contrary to the political party in power right now, the immediate right out of the gate. Oh, he's on trial for hush money.
Yeah.
And, well, and that must be, that's a day in your life, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And my focus is here on Vermont.
Right.
You know, my focus is helping Governor Phil Scott get enough support in the legislature to sustain his vetoes, get more Republicans who are concerned about, you know, the rising property tax increase, the concerns we've had around public safety. And one of the things the state party is doing is developing a more Vermont-centric campaign called Get Real. We've started rolling that out to a couple people sort of internally. And the idea is Vermont needs to get real about some of the problems we're facing. Democrats have been kind of living in la-la land for too long.
And we'll get into that in a minute. And, of course, whatever's happening with the president's trial, you still have a convention to put on.
That's right.
And you're putting out the word that the convention's coming up. People want to run to become a delegate. This is how it works. We'll get into this, the platform of Get Real, in just a minute, but I know we got a call coming in.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Yes, good morning, Paul. Yeah, let's talk about Vermont for a moment and not get lost in Trump mania for a second. But, you know, I'm sure at some point while you're here this morning, you're going to talk about your efforts to recruit candidates. But when you are talking about that, if you could give me any information you have on any luck you've had recruiting a candidate for the Addison-Rutland seat that's being vacated this year because the current Democrat rep couldn't make a living at it, so he's not running again.
Yeah.
Well, who is that?
Joe Andreano.
Okay.
Yeah. I will tell you, I have a personal vested interest in that district because my grandfather lives there, and that's a district I used to live in as an elementary school student. And I have
so
called.
So do I, because I live here.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, caller, I'm going to pose the question that I talked to Paul off the air. I've changed my narrative. I've asked everybody, what about you? And if not you, what about
somebody
you know?
Somebody asked me about this just a few days ago, and my opinion on the position at this point, which probably would not be a winning formula, is that until there's at least a little bit of balance in that building, until the progressive Democrat supermajority stops running everything, I think the best that I could do sitting in that seat would be to show up to sustain Governor Scott's vetoes.
But even there is a beginning, you know? I mean, I really think that we need
to
look
inside.
What
about you, Anthony?
Yeah.
No.
I'll just get back to the
Nobody's
caller.
Me.
I mean, please contact me.
Everybody can say that, though.
Yeah, I am recruiting, and even if people aren't, you know, can't run or whatever, I want to build a team. I've had talked to a couple people in that district, so contact me, paul@vtgop.org. I really want that is one of my top priority seats, both personally and the numbers. Or that's a seat Republicans should be winning.
With the right person, I think it's winnable for Addison-Rutland. I think.
I agree.
And I know we got to go to a break in just a minute, but how about will there be a Republican candidate running for Addison County State's Attorney?
I am working on that as well. I think when
that's right. That race may not be up this year. It would be 2 years later because it's a 4-year term.
That's a whole other conversation. Maybe we need to look at sheriffs and attorneys also going every 2 years based on things that have been happening in the last 2 years.
Some that we don't need 4-year terms for.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. All right, well, we're going to take a real quick break. We're talking to Paul Day.
You're listening to Kurt and Anthony on The Morning Drive on FM 96.3 and AM 620 WVMT.
Welcome back to The Morning Drive, everybody, where we are talking to and continuing to talk to Paul Dame, the Vermont Republican Party chair. The McKenzie Country Classic hotline's open, 888-414-0303. And Paul, one more thing nationally before we delve more into Vermont politics, which is this. The caller called and asked about Donald Trump. And we know in the past that you've said Donald Trump has been sort of a drag on the ticket here in Vermont that makes it tougher for you to recruit candidates. He is going to be the nominee. How do things stand now? Do you think it's going to continue to be a drag in the Republican Party in Vermont? Is it going to make it more difficult for you to obviously recruitment? You can have issues, but if you don't have the candidates, lots of candidates and candidates that can win, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think it's going to be a topic of conversation. It's going to be something that our candidates are going to face at the door, just like I did in 2016. You know, candidates are going to be asked where they stand on Trump, and some candidates, you know, are going to be all on board with the nominee, and some candidates, I'm sure, are going to have a different approach. But what we've always found is Vermonters, especially this year, want to talk about local issues primarily. The school board budgets, you can't get more local than that, and Vermonters have been crystal clear how they feel about that. We've seen a number of towns vote down their school budget, and then these revotes are getting, you know, places like South Burlington and Essex. I know CVU's budget is tomorrow, and voters are, that's where their main concern is what's going on with my property taxes.
And so what do you think? Do you think that's obviously a potentially a fertile issue for Republicans to run on, this big property tax increase? Do you think something can come out of this session which will mitigate that issue?
No. I'm a pretty optimistic guy, but the Democrats in the supermajority have no vested interest in making that kind of a change. They're always hesitant to make big changes like that towards the end of the session. And I think if we can get out of this with a study session that we're going to look at changing it in the future, that would be better than what I think is actually going to happen, which is probably not too much.
And another study, I mean, they could probably go up to the shelf and find a bunch of studies with dust gathering on them that they could already look at that have been studied on the education finance system over the years.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're going to kind of, what about this? The fact that the governor said we can defer it, kick it down the road, that deferred payment plan seems right up the Democrats' alley.
That's all they've done for 20 years is kick the can down the road.
Right.
We have so
that
much
concerns me a little bit.
We have so much school maintenance that hasn't been getting done for 10, 15 years because we passed a bill long before even I was in session that says, "Well, we're gonna worry about, you know, there's too much spending on school buildings, so let's all defer that till later." And so we've got a lot of deferred maintenance, and that's one of the pressures on the school budget. But I think the real problem is a lot of these non-classroom administrative positions. It seems like there's been this huge bloat in the administration of schools and supervisory unions. And the teachers kind of get a bad rap on that because everyone says, oh, it's payroll. Mm. And the teacher's like, yeah, I'm not seeing, you know, the increase in payroll is not translating to a reduction in my class sizes. So where are all these people on the payroll actually going? I don't think it's in the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Can you talk a little bit about the get real?
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of what the Republicans are going to use for their campaign theme this fall, which is get real. And you have a number of issues, right, that you're going to talk about it. Are you going to go to voters and say, hey, if you elect us, is it sort of like the 1994 Newt Gingrich contract with America, where you're going to say, hey, here are the issues we think you're concerned about, and here's what we're going to do. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's the idea. Is so often Republicans have been a big tent, which I think is an advantage to us, but the downside of that is we don't have a clear, concise message like Democrats do. When you vote for a Democrat, you don't know that name, you don't recognize that name. You know what you're getting in that case. And so this is an effort for Republicans to come together and say, there's a lot of people have different ideas on different things, but here are seven core issues that if we get elected, if we can get enough just to sustain the governor's veto, that we're going to focus on, and we're not going to get trapped by a lot of other things. And I got to give all the credit to Bill Huff, a previous candidate and the county chair in Orange County. He heard the governor's State of the State speech and sat down that night and put together this plan. So it's all based on what the governor's talked about. And you know, the issues are, we've got to reform some of the problems around the Global Warming Solutions Act. You know, we put a law in place that allows some major law firm from Massachusetts to come up to Vermont and sue the state if we don't meet our goals, and then they get to keep all their legal fees. It's insane. That's where it's the taxpayer subsidy. Taxpayers are subsidizing people to sue us. We've got to change that. We're not going to get ahead.
Or get law licenses.
Right. That's right. It's also about educational excellence. I think a lot of the focus on academics and performance in our school have been lost by other concerns. Transportation infrastructure, it's about fixing the roads. The governor had a proposal in last budget to draw down a lot of federal money to update roads and bridges, especially in result of a lot of flooding. And Democrats spent that money elsewhere. And it's also involving residential housing. I mean, that is the big thing. Democrats have done nothing. There's two members of the housing housing committee who've stopped going to the housing committee because they're not doing anything on housing anymore. Democrats have completely dropped the ball on this. Governor Scott has a good plan of we've got to reduce regulatory form, make it easier to build houses, and let's go back and rehab the houses that aren't in habitable shape. He had $6 million proposal to rehab houses that are just not livable conditions. Yeah. And the Democrats cut that down to $1 million. A huge cut on just rehabbing what we already have.
You know, and it's important to get that out because when you have an existing structure, you don't have Act 250. You don't have zoning. It's already there.
Yep.
All you got to do is fix it up.
And
it's like dollar for dollar, probably the best way to fix housing.
Right. And it's the one that's got the most support, right? There are Vermonters on both sides of the aisle who get concerned about major housing developments. But this is something that we can put new housing units on the market without disrupting, without changing a footprint on a single building.
Not changing a thing.
Yeah.
We're talking to Vermont's Republican Party Chair Paul Dame. If you've got a question for him, give us a call on the McKenzie Country Classic Hotline, 888-414-0303. Paul, when you train, obviously there's going to be, if any Republican candidate runs, there will be some kind of training, right?
Yep.
Are you going to try to have a consistent message when it comes to property tax? Like, what will Republicans say to the voters in the fall that if you elect us, here's what we do about property taxes, the biggest issue of the day?
Yeah, I think part of that is we're still waiting to see how the other shoe drops in the legislative session. You know, there's this bill that's coming up Tuesday. If Democrats do something there, I think we've got to factor that in. I think we won't finalize that till we know when the dust settles on the legislative session. But one of the things Scott Beck, our representative from St. Johnsbury, has done a really good job and starting to develop some of these ideas. And one of the things is we've got to return to a system that ties the taxpayer vote to their own budget and to their tax rate. We've got this very complicated system where for every dollar of taxation, only about 25 cents of it is from your own budget and 75 cents of it is from all the budgets around the state. So, Representative Beck has looked at something. Kurt, when you and I were in the legislature, we had those allowable growth rates, and it seemed like it worked so well that schools like didn't want it anymore because it was sort of too restrictive. But I think it provided some measure of fiscal discipline that's been missing. Right now, the only tool that voters have is to vote down their budget. And if they do it long enough and we get to July 1st, their budgets can revert back to 87% of the previous year's approved budget. That's a pretty severe tool. But if that's the only tool that voters have, they're going to use it. We've already seen it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Paul, can you stay around?
Yeah, sure.
Break?
Yep.
Great. All right. So Paul's going to stay with us. We're going to continue the conversation. If you have a question after the break, 888-414-0303. McKenzie Country Classic Hotline is open.
You're listening to Kurt and Anthony on The Morning Drive on FM 96.3 and AM 620. WVMT.
Welcome back to The Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony here on this Monday morning. We're continuing our discussion with Vermont's Republican Party Chair, Paul Dame. And, of course, we always put out the invitation. If the Democratic Party Chair or the Progressive Party Chair want to come in, they just contact us and we'll have them in. Paul, I want to ask you in regard to, again, what's the biggest issue out there, which is property taxes. Mm-hmm. One of the Ways and Means Committee bills, the big thing amongst many in the bill, is these educational opportunity payments, which it seems like works about like the state will pay up to a certain level per pupil to each community, provide some level of adequate education or adequate plus, whatever you want to refer to it as, and then the spending would become reconnected to the local voters' spending decisions. Because if they want to go past that, I guess they would vote it on their local homestead property tax. Mm-hmm. What do you – I know you don't speak for all Republican candidates or Republicans, but you are the Republican Party Chair and a former legislator.
Yep.
What do you think about that part of the proposal?
I think that's a step in the right direction. You know, I think we probably need something more comprehensive than that, but you know, I can see what it all depends on how the cards are dealt in after the November election. I think that's a step in the right direction. It kind of goes back to sort of the allowable growth rates that we were talking about when you and I were in the legislature together, and I think that anything that's going to reconnect that spending is important. Well, I know the concerns you had sort of before I came on, like the Brigham decision is the big boogeyman in the room, and we need to be willing to pass laws and say, let's take it to court. It's just so frustrating that the Democrats are always willing to do things they think are unconstitutional when it comes to guns, when it comes to a ton of other stuff. They're like, well, let's pass this and see how it goes. I think Vermonters want us to do something to control spending on school education, and we've got to be willing to say, let's do this. We think it's in compliance with Brigham, and if it's not, let the court sort it out. But we're going to take a step towards providing property tax relief and clarity and transparency to the education funding system. We've got to be willing to take that risk, move forward.
All right, we got a call. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Hi, I'm living up in Milton. And we're having a revote on our school budget. People are sick of the games that are being played.
Mm-hmm.
If this budget doesn't get approved, it gets cut back. They're going to cut back music programs, sports programs. But by God, they're going to keep the $100,000 DEI person on the payroll.
Yep.
What can we do about that?
The best step is people have to pay closer attention to who's on their school board races. I think in some communities, voters can get together and put together, taxpayer coalitions, that will go to the school board as a group of people and say, look, there's 20, 30 people that we have organized so far. These are the cuts we want you to make. Now, ultimately, it's going to be up to the school board to decide that. But if the school board is not being responsive to the will of the voters, then you've got an opportunity next March to get rid of them. The other thing is, again, like I said before, if the only tool you have is to vote budgets down until they get that message, That's what you're going to have to do for now. And because I think that usually school boards are looking to figure out, well, why did the budget fail? You can tell them. You get 30, 40 people together, put together a signed letter that says, we want to keep our music program, and we think that instead of a 30% tax increase, let's cut this paid position that's not in the classroom, that's not helping students with academic issues, and let's get the focus back on helping our students learn and compete in the 21st century.
You know, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to do the old kind of Bill Doyle poll if you were a school board right now. Just say, here's your voting, but, you know, tell us what you think.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Good morning. Where are we at with ballot harvesting this season? I don't think getting people to vote early is enough. I think we need sort of organization going door to door, making sure people are filling out their ballots and voting Republican. So where are we at with that?
Yeah. So certainly we've had a push to vote early. It's something that before COVID Republicans used to do and be very successful about. I did it in my 2014 campaign and was able to win as part of it. So I think getting points on the board early, right, to use a sports metaphor, like why do you want to score all your points in the fourth quarter? It doesn't make sense. So I think we are going to be working with our local town and county committees to do some training on how to do that in a way that's appropriate. But and this is the place where I've got to go check the laws in Vermont, because every law's got different, every state has different laws on this.
Right.
But whatever the legal means are to encourage voters to return their ballot early, we want to take advantage of that. We want to compete on that level.
And just be more organized about it, the Democrats have been.
Yeah, I talked to the Republican Party chair in California. One of the things they did in the 2022 election is they have some pretty vague
in California.
California,
no, Paul, saying
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but what they did is the Republicans set up drop boxes outside of churches in the area.
Ooh.
And so it's one of those things that if Republicans, instead of just crossing our arms and complaining, like we're grumpy old men, say, all right, what are the rules? How do we work within these rules? And how do we use these rules to our advantage to help reach our people? and go to where people are. And even if Republicans don't feel comfortable dropping their ballot in that drop box, if they're going to those places and they see it, it's a constant reminder that you need to be voting. So maybe, and my recommendation is, people who are concerned about the mail in Vermont, which I've had problems with my business, is go to your town clerk. You can vote in person. You don't have to worry about the ballot coming to you in the mail or going back in the mail. You can vote right there up to 45 days before the election. Get it in the bank and get it done so you don't run into problems on election day.
It really is easy to vote early in Vermont.
Yep.
And it's kind of pleasant because nobody's there. You just walk up to the town clerk and, yep, and there you go. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive. Oh, all right. Well, 888-414-0303. McKenzie Country Classic Hotline is open. We're talking to Paul Dame. He's the chairman of the Republican Party in the state of Vermont. And I have to say that, you know, you have to have, on all fronts, you've just got to be prepared. And yep, it seems like, you know, this Get Real program is a single issue, well, not a single issue, but just one thing that you can focus on and try to bring the party together.
And the great thing about this is we've talked to some of our most conservative members. We've talked to some of our more moderate members. And I've had people on both ends of the spectrum, people who have run primaries against each other,
yeah,
are both saying, this is what we've been looking for. This is the way to go. And I think pretty much everybody is on board with this.
Well, I don't perceive a lot of Marjorie Taylor Greens in Vermont.
No.
Paul, let me ask you about... The Democratic Party and the Progressive Party have put out statements about the governor's education pick, Zoe, mm-hmm, Saunders.
Yep.
And the Democrats have said they have grave concerns about Saunders' charter school and Florida background. And also the Vermont Progressive Party have flat out announced their opposition to her appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The hearings start next week in the Senate Education Committee. What's the Republican Party's thoughts on his appointment?
It's really disappointing.
On the governor's appointment.
On the governor's, it's really really disappointing to see the other parties, you know, making this a partisan issue. The governor's always had, you know, some broad leeway in his appointments, and we're supporting the governor. I think Vermont could use an outside perspective, somebody who's not sort of been conditioned by some of the norms here, because people are not happy with the status quo, and we need some changes. We need some innovative thinking in how charter schools almost always get better results and they spend less money. So I think having somebody from that side of the or that area of expertise can help us figure out what are they doing right and what can we do. And that might not, you know, Democrats are terrified that we gave people choice in education, right? They're so afraid that we're moving that direction. But even without that, you say, what are the things that charter schools are doing? Is it because they've got different regulations? They don't have a ton of unfunded mandates like Montpelier keeps dumping on our public schools,
yeah,
right? Because we've turned our classroom teachers into guidance counselors and mental health professionals and Medicaid applicants. You know, it's like,
yeah,
there's too much burden on our teachers to actually just simply teach. And if we can look at what are the necessary and appropriate rules, right, it's not going to be the Wild West. We're not going to have no regulations on our schools. But I feel like everyone recognizes we're a little top heavy, and there are some things we can pull back, give classroom teachers the freedom they need to actually teach and put the focus back on education and academics.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Good morning. To save the taxpayer base, how about removing these pensions for government officials and for the teachers and have them pay into a 401k and save money up for the taxpayer? Has anybody thought about that?
That's a tough hill to climb at this point. A lot of teachers who've gotten in and they put in even 3, 4, 5 years have chosen this profession, making less money most of the time because that pension sort of makes up for the pay. I think it's certainly something that would save us money. But because a lot of our teacher pensions are run through the state, that would be a pretty fundamental shift.
And it's part of a collective bargaining process, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's teachers' contracts in there. That gets a little more complicated. Easier said than done, I'll say.
Let's grab one more call. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Thanks for taking my call. Oh, I'd like to know what authorized the city of Burlington to send mail out ballots. Used to be only for the snowbirds, and I'll let you answer the question. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, towns can make their charter changes if required. I don't know. Did
the Burlington legislature allowed towns to make their own in the fall? They're all getting ballots mailed to them, right?
That's right.
That's the system the legislature passed. But in town meeting day, they allowed towns to make their own decisions, I think, right?
That's my understanding.
Because Burlington does, because they can.
Yep.
Other towns like Milton don't. They go with the old system, which is if you want a ballot, just call up your clerk's office and ask for one.
Or swing in. That's what I do.
Yep.
I just, it never works out for me on voting day. But if I'm going by and the office is open, you swing and vote.
Well, that's the thing I've always said, and this will be part of our campaign as we get into the fall too, is, you know, Republicans put their family first, their work second, and politics is kind of third, right? And if that's the case and you wait till 5:30 or 6 o'clock on election day and something happens to your family, your kid gets sick, somebody gets hurt, they need your help, you're going to go do that instead of voting because that's more important to you.
If you're a small business owner, somebody else calls out sick, or somebody else has to go vote.
Right.
You're staying at work.
You are. Or even if you're an employee, you know, and if you're a Republican, you want to be a responsible person. You say, I'm not going to leave my coworkers in the lurch, and I'm going to fix this problem. And if you vote early, you have the freedom to fulfill those other obligations and priorities without feeling like, you know, you cost somebody an election, because we had a race up in the islands where we lost by 7 votes, and we found 20 people, some of whom had yard signs for our candidate. 20 people didn't show up on election day. They waited till the last minute, and the clock ran out.
Shows how important each vote is. Paul, last question for you. I know you got to go in just a minute here, but in terms of recruitment, I mean, we can talk about it on the show and our personal lives, and that's all good stuff, but the recruitment efforts have to come from the party, and also potentially from the governor's office. Some have criticized on this show the administration or the governor's efforts in the past to get behind Republican candidates or centrist candidates he wants to see. Are you more engaged, or is the governor more engaged with you than he has been in the past in terms of finding, recruiting good candidates to run?
Absolutely. I feel there's been a big change sort of behind the scenes. I know most of what the governor is doing publicly is still dealing with the legislature, but I've had really good conversations with his staff. We met with folks a week or two ago and sat down and looked at this district, that district. And I think the governor's happy with some of the candidates we're finding. The governor's finding some candidates that we're happy with, and we're really starting to build some bridges there that lead me to be very optimistic about the amount of coordination that we may have moving forward. Because from my perspective, the next step, right, the one achievable goal we have as a party is to get to that point. We get 51 House members or 11 in the Senate. To help sustain the governor's veto. And I think once we do that, it helps inspire and draw more people in, like that other caller is like, I'm not going to do it. It's hopeless. No, it's not, because the year that I won in 2014, we flipped 14 seats in one election.
It's baby steps, you know. Rutland wasn't built in a day.
No, if there's ever an election that Republicans can do well here in Vermont, it's this one.
It does seem like it's
how
this
many
year.
Do you have any members, any incumbents not running?
Not very many.
So you still could have somebody tell you later that they're not.
That's right. That's right.
Are you talking to all of them saying, "Hey, I need to know by a certain date if you're not seeking re-election"?
I've asked our legislative leadership to kind of be in touch with folks on that. And the very very few people I do know that aren't returning have already found replacements, and some of those replacements are starting their campaign efforts. Right now, we don't have any holes that I know of.
And give us the GOP convention date again.
Yep. The state convention is May 18th. It's going to be at the Doubletree in South Burlington. You can find some of that information on the website today, and we'll be having more as we move forward.
And if you're listening and you want to run to be a delegate to the national convention, you show up there.
Yes, there's more information on the website about the process to be a delegate. There's a couple hoops you got to jump through. You got to get signatures from a couple other Republicans. But the details are on there and instructions.
All right. Paul Dane, Vermont's Republican Party chair. Thanks for being on.